हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 7, Lord Chaitanya and Five Features, page 49, Srila Prabhupada. When will there be... So, this gradual development of devotional service is described by Srila Narottam Das Thakur as follows. When will there be eruptions on my body as soon as I chant the name of Lord Chaitanya? And when will there be incessant torrents of tears as soon as I chant the holy names Hare Krishna? When will Lord Nityananda be merciful towards me and free me from all desires for material enjoyment? When will my mind be completely free from all contamination of desires for material pleasure? Only at that time will it be possible for me to understand Vrindavan. Only if I become attached to the instructions given by the six Goswamis, headed by Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, will it be possible for me to understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. End quote. By attachment to the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one immediately comes to the ecstatic position. When he develops his love for Nityananda Prabhu, he is freed from all attachment to the material world. And at that time, he becomes eligible to understand the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan. In that condition, when one develops his love for the six Goswamis, he can understand the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. These are the different stages of pure devotee's promotion to conjugal love in the service of Radha Krishna in an intimate relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, this is showing the process. Other processes, we all sit down and just read pastimes about the gopis. It's not mentioned here. You know, so we see Srila Prabhupada didn't mention it. He's from there. And Narottam Das Thakur didn't mention it. Right? And also Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he's also giving this point. So this is the process. Having gotten to that stage of being freed from material desires, right, by Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, having that mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that he's having that affection for the Goswamis, and that then one can understand these things, then there's a meaning that sitting around and reading about these pastimes. Understand? But it's not that just reading will get you there, because then that's saying some mechanical position. You know, one's saying, no, but it's by hearing, then you may be attracted. Okay, then that's a good thing. That's also recommended, the Association of Devotees. The problem is you're only attracted if you don't have something distracting like material desire. So unless you get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you're not getting to that position. That's the thing, is that this is how the process works. Right? Because if you want to be involved in Icha Shakti, then you have to have the mercy of the Kriya, and that you're going to get by the mercy of the Jnana. Right? So when we give up that false ego, give up that false identity and all that of being the enjoyer, then we can lose that interest in material life, that material pleasure. Because he says here, material desires, free me from all material enjoyment. Then there's also material pleasure, right? Because he's mentioning both. So this enjoyment means that we just think that it's enjoyable. The pleasure means that taste for it. So when these are given up, then one can start to understand Vrindavan. It's not an academic approach. Because when we say association, it means by an association, by the attitude of pure devotion. That's what we'll get. Now, if you're sitting, and the pure devotees are sitting around and discussing these things, and you happen to hear, that may work. Yes. But it's not that it's a sadhana. know what I'm saying? The Bhaktivedantas were sitting around because it was Chaturmas and discussing about spiritual subject matter and that. And then Narad Muni, in his birth as the son of a maidservant, then he was hearing from them, you know, rendering service, taking the remnants of their prasad, you know, by their permission. And that brought him to the transcendental platform. So these are the methods. It's the association that one's in. It's not the activity that's being performed. Does that make sense? There are recommended activities, because these are the natural activities those on the transcendental platform will perform. But it's not that the activity alone without the devotion is going to do something. Right? So it's by the mercy of the Lord and the devotees, then we are able to have that attitude. Right, and with that attitude, then it has meaning. Yes. Does that make sense? So we're just trying to clear that kind of that here.
So devotees, they may be sincere in that that they don't have this taste still to relish. But they might think, or they argue with that, let's pretend that we are relishing, and maybe by that we will develop the taste.
That's okay, but they should test it first. Try it on their wife first. See how it works out. Because if it doesn't work on her, it's not going to work on anybody else. Because the whole point is Krishna is a person. Why pretending that you have... Why would that impress him? Because we have... It means developing love for Krishna means it's by his blessings. Being freed from the material entanglement is by his blessings. So... The whole point is that why would pretending impress him? If it did, wouldn't the Sahajiyas be high on Lord Chaitanya's list? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really good pretenders. But, I mean, they can roll around for hours. I mean, we couldn't do that. You know, and cry at the same time. Like that. So they do a great job. You know, if that was it, then... You know, all those actors and that did, you know, that Bengali movie, Neelachal Mahaprabhu, they would have all gone back to Godhead.
Yeah.
You know? You know what I'm saying? You know, all the guys that worked on Mahabharata and that Hindi thing, they would have all realized Bhagavad Gita. You know what I'm saying? It's like, why not? You know, it's just like, you know, how you say... You know, the actor plays the gladiator and all this and that and rises up to a big position, and then when he walks out of the studio, he's emperor of the world, right? Isn't that how it works? Yeah, so why would that be an option? Why use the option of, why not pretend? Why do that? Why not just sincerely try to advance as recommended by the acharyas? That's why it says when you follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, that's when you'll be able to appreciate. So they've given us, you know, all this nice processes to use. And one may say, oh, it's Vaidhi, but who's telling us it's Vaidhi? Them. Right? It's not that you learned in, you know, secondary school that, you know, be careful about getting too attached to Vaidhi because, you know, it'll distract you from, you know, pure unalloyed devotion to Radha and Krishna and Braja, right? Isn't that? Which teacher, your math teacher taught you that? Or, you know, was it the art teacher? Or, you know what I'm saying? Which one told you that? Or was it just the principal set on the side and all that? Knowing that the other teachers would be too absorbed in, you know, getting their subjects across, they wouldn't tell you these important things. Or did we learn it from Srila Prabhupada and learn it from the acharyas? Right? So learning it from them, then we have to follow the processes they gave. We can't take what they've given us and now turn what they're giving us, because it's rules, into that's Vaidhi. You know, what I'm talking about from this negative connotation. So one has to be very careful about that. There's a process, so he's giving it here, that when can, so by attachment to the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya, you gain that attachment, then one comes to the ecstatic position. One's very absorbed, one's very happy in that position. When he develops love for Nityananda Prabhu, he's freed from all attachment to the material world. Right? So that's then how it works. Because without that, then how you'll be engaged in Krishna's service. And at that time, he becomes eligible to understand the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan. Right? Then he becomes eligible at that point. You give up the material desire, then you become eligible.
like that.
Does that make sense? Yeah. In that condition, one develops his love for the six Goswamis. It means you've already come to that platform. Now appreciate. Then you can understand the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. So that's how it goes. So we're seeing that the fun part is you're getting Lord Chaitanya's mercy here. Then you're getting Lord Nityananda's. That's bringing you to getting the Goswamis. Then you're able to understand Radha and Krishna. And how do you get Lord Chaitanya's mercy? That was the first chapters. Guru. Right. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. So, yeah, don't pretend.
I try not to.
Yeah. These little kids, they pretend, that's all right. But when you're bigger, then it's not good.
You don't do the fake it till you make it?
No, you don't.
Or dress for the job you want, not for the job you have?
Yeah, but Sahajas do that. They dress up as Radha and Krishna and all that. And but it doesn't work out for them, no. Somehow or another, before it was Radha and Krishna, the Goswamis, no one's impressed with them. Yeah, sad, they work so hard. But sorry. The internal devotees, or potencies, are all eternal associates in the pastimes of the Lord. Only with them does the Lord advent to propound the Sankirtan movement. Now, he only comes with his internal potency. Only with them does the Lord taste the mellow of conjugal love. And only with them does he distribute his love of God to the people in general. Right? So all the aspects of his pastimes are done with his eternal associates. Right? So we should also be very, very careful, because sometimes they've said, oh, these pastimes, that's the Sankirtan pastimes, those are external. But what's external for Krishna? His internal and external, there's no difference. He is himself. So it's all transcendental. But it may be the visible reason he's coming. Right? Because it said he wants to taste the love between that Radharani has for him as Krishna. And at the same time, is it the time for the advent of the Kali Yuga avatar has also come. So then combining this, then he appears. So that you see him and he's manifest, then that's because of the Sankirtan. That doesn't mean that it's external, meaning that it's mundane or something less. Okay? Yeah? Srila Prabhupada, distinguish them between pure devotees and internal or confidential devotees. Sri Rupa Goswami, in his book Upadeshamrita, traces the following gradual process of development. Out of many thousands of karmis, one is better when he is situated in perfect Vedic knowledge. Out of many such learned scholars and philosophers, one who is actually liberated from material bondage is better. And out of many such persons who are actually liberated, one who is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is considered to be the best. Among many such transcendental lovers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the gopis are the best. And among the gopis, Srimati Radharani, Radhika, is the best. Srimati Radhika is very dear to Lord Krishna, and similar, her pawns, named Shyamakund and Radhakund, are also very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments in his Anubhasya that among the five tattvas, two are energy, Shakti Tattva, and the three others are energetic, Shaktiman Tattva. Unalloyed and internal devotees are both engaged in the favorable cult. Unalloyed and internal devotees are both engaged in the favorable culture of Krishna consciousness, untinged by philosophical speculation or fruitive activities. They are all understood to be pure devotees, and those among them who simply engage in conjugal love are called Madhurya Bhaktas, or internal devotees. The loving services and parental love, fraternity and servitude are included in conjugal love of God. In conclusion, therefore, every confidential devotee is a pure devotee of the Lord. So he's showing there's no difference between the two.
Mm-hmm. Just like a category only.
Yeah, because sometimes we'll say it means the internal devotees, you have the internal potency. Mm-hmm. But the point is they're all pure devotees.
Yeah.
So within pure devotees, then some will be jivas, some will be the internal potency. Mm. Like that.
The term is used, parshara, is that the...
Parshara means associates.
That means associates. Internal associates?
No, just associates.
General.
Doesn't matter who they are. See, when one comes to that platform of prema, you don't really make distinctions between like that. Because the point is they're all devotees and they're all engaged in their service. So you don't need to make, you don't make a distinction there between who's Nitya Siddha and who has come to that perfectional platform.
Yeah.
Once you come to that platform, they're just all considered within the Nitya Siddha category. So they're all pure devotees. It means it's all about Krishna. Now, some of them belong to the internal potency. Right? Does that make sense? Here he's mentioning unalloyed and internal devotees, so you can say like that, but he's pointing out, therefore, every confidential devotee is a pure devotee.
Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur has written Anubhashya on what? Anubhashya.
Anchaitanya Charitamrita.
So his commentary is just called Anubhashya, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's is called Amrita Pravaha Bhasya.
The characteristics of text 20. The characteristics of Krishna are understood to be a storehouse of transcendental love. Although that storehouse of love certainly came with Krishna when he was present, it was sealed. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates to the Panchatattva, they broke the seal and plundered the storehouse to taste the transcendental love of Krishna. The more they tasted it, the more their thirst for it grew. And so when Krishna came, then that storehouse of love of God came with Krishna. But it was unavailable. So only when Lord Chaitanya came, then they opened that storehouse of love of Godhead. Right here it says, broke the seal, they plundered it. So they went in and just took as they pleased. And the more they took, the more they wanted to take. Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Mahavaranyavatara because although he is Sri Krishna himself, he is even more favorably disposed to the poor fallen souls than Lord Sri Krishna. When Lord Sri Krishna himself was personally present, he demanded that everyone surrender unto him and promised he would then give one all protection. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this earth with his associates, he simply distributed transcendental love of God without discrimination. Right? So that's how, by getting his mercy, by getting the mercy of the spiritual master and assisting him to serve Lord Chaitanya, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, then now you can progress nicely on this path.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even though here Krishna says, first you surrender, then we'll talk.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But here is that we see is that Lord Chaitanya is giving out that blessing even though we may not have really nicely surrendered. There's some kind of surrender because we've surrendered to Guru and following the instructions. But it hasn't mean that we've necessarily taken it so far. And so then by his mercy, then one can appreciate Lord Nityananda, and getting his mercy, you can give up that material desire, right? The material need, that material interest. Then that will take us to being able to appreciate the teachings of the Goswamis. Because otherwise we'll be like we saw before, arguing over Varanashram, whether we have to follow, do we have to follow the rules or not, or this or that, all this kind of stuff. Then we'll actually understand the Goswamis. Then that will make us go, then we'll understand the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. Because it's a matter of taste. It's not about the rules and arguing over the rules. They're just pointing out what's there. And these are the processes by which you can purify yourself and get the mercy of the Lord. Right? And so in so doing, they're pointing out that it's about getting that mercy of the Lord, about developing love for Krishna. They have to have that desire. So it's not about the rules, but it's not about not doing the rules either. Because it's totally rules or no rules. And then we'll have this idea of totally rules, that's Vaidhi, and so they'll take the Vaikuntha, and no rules at all, somehow or another, that whimsical service is going to get you to the spiritual world. Right? Or then there's, how you say your nouveau rag wallas, is that why all this, rag based on the devotional literatures, why not the rag based on the modern concepts of social interaction and everything like that?
Take
it to brunch. I kind of don't think so.
But what's their idea?
Their idea is that since it's about not about the rules, then we make up the rules, and then we're attached to these things. So we don't need to follow the rules. We don't actually have to get free from material desire, you know, of Lord Chaitanya. And then on top of that, by our academic prowess, we will be able to understand all these things. So you see, on all levels, it's just like, it's just off. But at the same time, they lack the culture in that you can say that, okay, here's a nice, you know, proper solid, you know, sahaji, or, you know, a proper, you know, impersonalist, or a proper, you know, mundane scholar, and that it's all mishmash so much together that you can't really tell. And they don't get a taste out of it themselves either, so that's why. I remember once we were in Bhubaneswar for something, way long before they'd even built anything. This is when it was just a mud hut with a grass roof and surrounded by, what do you call it? Termite hills. So it was way out there in the boonies. Then we went to a program. This program, it was a local program, so we were there, we invited to speak, but there was also this other devotee was there, you know, wearing white and that. He was Gaudiya, but he wasn't in our line. And then after we're sitting with him and asking him, you know, like that, because you sit on the side and different people would come up and talk. You know, it's kind of like you all sit around in the chairs and people get up and say things. And, you know, it's that kind of a discussion thing. And so we ask him, so what's his sampradaya? He said, Sahajya. So, because we think, oh, that's just the name we call them, Sahajyas, you know. You know, like American, you call them Yankees or something. No, that's their title. That's what they called themselves. So he's Sahaja Sampradaya. You know, so he dressed properly, does all the things properly. That's the fun part, is it's all, you know, oh, we don't follow the rules, but the tilak on a Sahaja, how they dress, how they deal, if you do something not like that, you're completely off the wall because you don't follow the rules. Yeah, it's a funny mix. Like that. I saw one Sahaja guy put 45 minutes to put on his tilak. Paka tilak, you don't see better than that. But that. And another one I saw, he was washing his hands after he went to the toilet. It was also hands, feet, this, like straight, like every rule of Hari Bhakti Vilas on the subject. And, you know, to very extremely done. You know, it's like something you could have done in a couple of minutes. You know, stretch it out for 45 minutes. You know, but I guess nothing much else to do. So it just lacks the cultural flavor.
Nice. He's a spiritual master. He's a teaching, you can say, from the beginning of the shiksha, all this process.
Yes.
It can be quite more easy in life.
But he does teach this all. Just Chaitanya Charitamrita was done before he finished Bhagavatam. He did this quite early 70s. The whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, they did in 18 months. Mm-hmm. From him starting it to them having the final book printed. Prabhupada said, because he talked about it or something came up and they asked him about it. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, we can do it. And then he says, he challenges us. So, I says, I'll do it, but you have to keep up. It's like Ganesh, you know, Ganesh and said, I'll write it down, but you can't, it means... If I stop writing, I get up and walk. So you have to keep talking. And then he says, okay, as long as you only write what you understand. Right? So therefore, then Sutta Goswami said he put 8,888 verses in the 100,000 that were very technically complex. So he had to stop for a moment to think about it before he wrote. And that gave Vyasadeva some time to compose more verses. No, not these guys. Just straight. You know? So that means it's 24 hours. You know? And so as he's reciting them, he's just writing them. You know, so. Yeah. So.
And also the location was quite a distance apart.
Sorry?
Vyasadeva and Ganeshji. The distance between them was quite apart. It was not like so close that he was reciting and he was writing. It's like one cave he was sitting in, Vyasadeva, and Ganesh was sitting in another cave.
So then Prabhupada said, you know, if that, then he'll do. And they did. They were 24 hours going. The art department was going 24 hours. And, you know, everybody was good at something. Some was good at background. Some was good at faces. Some was good at, you know, clothes like that. So they put up one painting. And that, you know, like that, sketch it out. And then everybody would come and do their part and move on to the next one and the next one. Things like that. And so they had a system. So they did all the artwork. Did all the you know, the Prabhupada spoke it, all the how do you call it? The transcribing it,
yeah.
Like that, the editing it, the layout, the printing, all in 18 months. Sorry? Yes, Rameshwara and Gopijana Vallabha. I think he was the manager of the BBT at that time. So, yeah, they did it. So that was the focus. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita is out, the TLC is out, Nectar Devotion is out, you know, the Bhagavatam, whatever is there, is out, it's already explaining that, Gita. So that's the thing, is all these things are there. If it means having gone through, like here, you go back, now you, like you're going through Gita in that, do you not see things in the Gita that you didn't see before?
Yeah.
Like that, once you finish, you know, the 11th canto, like that, then you go back, it's just, there's so many more things there. So it's all there. It's just a matter of, as we progress, then we understand more and more. Okay, because understanding the conjugal love affairs, that's not just the technical things. Oh, Krishna stood here and Radharani said this and he said that. It's the taste that they have. That's understanding. You know, somebody says, it's nice to know, means who's doing what at what time and everything and everybody's names and relationships and so. That's nice. But it's not that that gives the taste. You know, it's just otherwise, you know, let's say, some of these, like mass scholars, they have memorized pi to like the 100th decimal point or something. And they can just go to a board and just write it down. They don't have to stop. So are they rolling on the ground in ecstasy because of their knowledge? You know? So, yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, the point is it's not, you can say, no, but it's Radha and Krishna's pastime, but if it's just memorization, how is that Radha Krishna's pastimes? That may be the form of it, but what gives it the taste is the prema. So to be able to appreciate that, that's the specialness. So, yeah. The characteristics of Krishna are understood. No, we got down here. Sri Rupa Goswami therefore could understand that Lord Chaitanya was none other than Sri Krishna himself. For no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can distribute confidential love of the Supreme Person. Right? Because he says only as you surrender. But then he, as Lord Chaitanya, taking the mood of the devotee, now he's distributing. And by that, we're surrendering. So that's the mercy here, is that, because otherwise you say, oh, but Lord Chaitanya is at the end of the line. It's because of his mercy, being Mahavaranya. So then, that's why then, by trying to please him, then one is able to get the mercy of all these others. By the grace of Krishna, one gets Guru. By the grace of Guru, one gets Krishna. Right? So Krishna's saying you surrender. Right? Then, but Lord Chaitanya, being his mercy, even though, you know, there's some basic surrender, you know, but the thing is how much we can get from that. That is so much greater because of his mercy. And then we see is what you're gaining from Lord Nityananda Prabhu, from the Acharyas, from the Goswamis. Then is so much greater also.
Yes. That type of mercy may need to receive.
To receive.
I mean, it's meant to accept, to take.
Yes, yes. That's the whole point, is that you come and take. They've broken open the doors of the storehouse of the love of God. You can come and take as much as you want. But the point, you have to walk in there and take it.
Yes.
They'll come out and give it to you, but you still have to put it in your mouth.
Yes.
You know? Like that. It means the whole point is there has to be some. That's why devotional service, it's a service. You're applying the service. So the taste comes in that service, as we saw before. That Advaitacharya, even though he's the Supreme Lord, his taste is in serving Lord Chaitanya, not in being the Supreme Lord.
Yes.
Being the Supreme Lord is what he is,
yes.
But the taste is serving Lord Chaitanya.
Yes.
22. Sri Panchatattva themselves danced again and again, and thus made it easier to drink nectarian love of Godhead. They danced, cried, laughed, and chanted like madmen, and in this way they distributed love of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada. People generally cannot understand the actual meaning of chanting and dancing. Describing the Goswamis, Sri Srinivasacharya stated, Krishna kirtana gana nartana paro. Not only did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates demonstrate this chanting and dancing, but the six Goswamis also followed in the next generation. The present Krishna consciousness movement follows the same principle, and therefore simply by chanting and dancing we have received good responses all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
It is to be understood, therefore, that this chanting and dancing do not belong to this material world. They are actually transcendental activities. For the more one engages in chanting and dancing, the more he can taste the nectar of transcendental love of Godhead. Right, so you see is that people, like Prabhupada is saying, they're getting a good, it's being received well.
Mm.
Good responses. Mm. So, and that's just going out chanting, dancing on the street. So we are famous because of that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. There's probably a very, very good chance that we're not in any circle famous for our administrative structures.
Infamous.
Yeah, or management meetings, or, you know, so many other things that we may pride ourselves that, yeah, these are what's necessary to make Krishna consciousness work. People know us because we go out and chant and dance on the street. Why? Because that's transcendental. The other things are material qualities that we can use in Krishna's service, but as long as we're using it to organize going out and chanting and dancing. Right? So when Prabhupada said chanting, dancing, take me a shot, that's our service. That's what it's meant. You know, so that means all the other things are in pursuance of arrangements so this can go on and everybody can do it. It's not only we're doing it, but everybody else is also doing it. That's why we go out in the Sankirtan, that's why we do the things, the temple, the different arrangements that are there. So they're all in support of that. So that's what he says. The present Krishna consciousness movement follows the same principle. They are actually transcendental activities, for the more one engages in chanting and dancing, the more he can taste the nectar of transcendental love of Godhead. 23. In distributing love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did not consider who was a fit candidate and who was not, nor where such distribution should or should not take place. Right? So we'll say, oh no, but only if you're like this, then it's that. Oh, if he's like this, only he can get the mercy, but if he's done that, he can't get the mercy. Or only in these places we should do things. But here, that's not how Lord Chaitanya and his associates were successful. They made no conditions. Wherever they got the opportunity, the members of the Panchatattva would distribute the love of Godhead. Right, so that's the Tare Deko. What is it? Tare? Yeah, so it means whoever you see, whoever you meet, wherever you are, then you talk about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. There are some rascals who dare to speak against the mission of Lord Chaitanya by criticizing the Krishna consciousness movement for accepting Europeans and Americans as brahmanas and offering them sannyas. But here is an authoritative statement that in distributing love of Godhead, one should not consider whether the recipients are Europeans, Americans, Hindus, Muslims, etc. The Krishna consciousness movement should be spread wherever possible, and one should accept those who thus become Vaishnavas as being greater than Brahmins, Hindus, or Indians. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired that his name be spread in every town and village on the surface of the globe. So this is not a exaggeration. This is not, we're just saying, yeah, you know, make it happen everywhere. Or like when I say, yeah, well, who's interested? Yeah, everybody, you know, it's an exaggeration. No, he meant every town and village. It's literal. Therefore, when the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is spread all over the world, should those who embrace it not be accepted as Vaishnavas? He doesn't notice that he said, not didn't say if. He says, therefore, when the cult is spread, it just means it's going to happen. You know? Should they not be accepted as Vaishnavas, Brahmanas, and Sannyasis? These foolish arguments are sometimes raised by envious rascals, but Krishna-conscious devotees do not care about them. We strictly follow the principles set down by the Panchatattva. Right, so we're going to be following rules. It's not whimsical, but it's not about the rules. It's about the Panchatattva did this, we want to please them, we do what they do. 24. Although the members of the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead and ate and distributed its contents, there was no scarcity. For this wonderful storehouse is so complete that as the love is distributed, the supply increases hundreds of times. So the more you distribute, the more there is to distribute. Srila Prabhupada. A pseudo-incarnation of Krishna once told his disciple that he had emptied himself by giving him all knowledge and was thus spiritually bankrupt. Such bluffers speak in this way to cheat the public, right? So you said about faking it?
Yeah,
and can they fake it as good as these guys? Like that, you know. Yeah. But actually, spiritual consciousness is so perfect that the more it is distributed, the more it increases. Because otherwise you bluff, then you just cheat. You cheat yourself, you cheat the public. That's what Prabhupada mentioned before, some pages back. But, you know, sahajas, it's just so sad. It's so unfortunate. Like that. Yeah, it must have been much longer ago. Oh, yeah, it's previous. Okay. Bankruptcy is a term that applies in the material world, but this, because then you can run out of karma. But the storehouse of love of Godhead in the spiritual world can never be depleted. Krishna is providing for millions and trillions of living entities by supplying all their necessities. And even if all the innumerable living entities wanted to become Krishna conscious, there would be no scarcity of love of Godhead, nor would there be insufficiency in providing for that maintenance. Right? It's just there. You know, the ants, they just go out and collect it. The animals just go out and get it. All they have to do is just put in the endeavor to pick it up. So Krishna's feeding all them. So the point is, even if everybody just is involved in Krishna consciousness, it will happen. Our Krishna conscious movement was started single-handedly, and no one provided for our livelihood. But at present, we are spending hundreds and thousands of dollars all over the world, and the movement is increasing more and more. Right? And in this, no one has a job, and a lot of them don't even have qualifications to get one. Like that, but it's going on. And the movement is increasing more and more. Thus, there's no question of scarcity. Although jealous persons may be envious, if we stick to our principles and follow in the footsteps of the Panchatattva, this movement will go on unchecked by imitation swamis, sannyasis, religionists, philosophers, or scientists. So we don't have to impress any of them. It's not that by impressing them, then it'll all work on. This mission is going on nicely without them. So it's not that we have to impress them to expand the movement. You know. Therefore, those who propagate the Krishna conscious movement should not be afraid of such rascals and fools. Text 25. The flood of love of Godhead swelled in all directions, and thus young men, old men, women, and children were all immersed in that inundation. The Krishna conscious movement will inundate the entire world and drown everyone, whether one be a gentleman, a rogue, or even lame, invalid, or blind. When the five members of the Panchatattva saw the entire world drowned in love of Godhead, and the seed of material enjoyment in the living entities completely destroyed, they became exceedingly happy. Right? So that's how you please them. Srila Prabhupada. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhashya that since the living entities all belong to the marginal potency of the Lord, each and every living entity has a natural tendency to become Krishna conscious, although at the same time the seed of material enjoyment is undoubtedly within him. The seed of material enjoyment, watered by the course of material nature, fructifies to become a tree of material entanglement that endows the living entity with all kinds of material enjoyment. to enjoy such material facilities is to be afflicted with the three material miseries. However, when by nature's law there is a flood, the seeds within the earth become inactive. Similarly, as the inundation of love of Godhead spreads all over the world, the seeds of material enjoyment become impotent. Thus, the more the Krishna consciousness movement spreads, the more the desire for material enjoyment decreases. The seed of material enjoyment is automatically becomes impotent with the increase of the Krishna consciousness movement. So that's the way it goes. So we see that's coming up. Is that, you know, if we do these things, then the material desire goes down. But if not, then the seeds, you know, if there's like that, then the seeds, then they dry out and they're ready to go. So that's why we always have to see. It's not that, well, now we're being more realistic. No, it's a matter of the realism means being absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Right? Now, if you have more realistically can deal with material desires by how what they are, how to be engaged in Krishna's service, okay, now then you can say that's an improvement. But if giving up, you know, moving away from this flood of love of God and simply taking up material lifestyle and fitting Krishna consciousness around that, then that's a step down. That's not being realistic, right? So it's not. Yudhishthira Maharaj is realistic, right? But he had good facility, right? He's realistic means he sees everything connected to Krishna. Because the point is the Shastra defines having an occupation. Varna and ashram means, Varna means your occupation. Right? So that's already given. That's part of the Vedic thing. Say, oh no, but we have to be realistic and, you know, we have to get a job. And the Vedas tell you that. Why is it that you can work and people will give you money? Right? It's an eternal principle. Everybody follows it. Doesn't matter the culture. That means it's a law of nature. That comes from Krishna, not from the contemporary society. Does that make sense? Like that. So these kind of things, we have to understand where they're coming from. Then it'll work. Otherwise, we'll just be distracted. And then we will be not as exceedingly happy as we could be. The more the five members of the Panchatattva cause the rains of love of Godhead to fall, the more the inundation increases and spreads all over the world. Srila Prabhupada. The Krishna conscious movement is not stereotyped or stagnant. It will spread all over the world in spite of all objections by fools and rascals that European and American malechas cannot be accepted as Brahmins or sannyasis. Here it is indicated that this process will spread and inundate the entire world with Krishna consciousness. So we should not follow in the footsteps of these fools and rascals and, you know, say, oh no, but we're malechas and yavanas, therefore we can't do all this Indian stuff. You know, yeah, we have to be careful with that.
We are doing business for them now quite often.
Yes. That means it's just, you know, it's like it makes their job easier. Yeah. Right? Because you have to, you know, they're fools and rascals. They might need help doing their job. So, but our business is to not worry about them. That's what it said before. The Krishna's movement are not afraid of such fools and rascals. We don't care for them. You know, that just comes up again and again. You know, why should we care? You know, you can say, oh, but that's, you know, we have to consider everybody. Do we consider everybody? You know what I'm saying? The modern, educated, liberal, political, correct person, does he consider everybody?
No.
Not at all. He only considers his small group. And within that group that I mentioned, those who agree with himself. Because there's a wide range even within that. And that's just one aspect of the whole political spectrum. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is they don't consider. So therefore, since they don't consider, you know, and they go on happily in their lifestyle, why can't we just not worry about it and go on happily in ours? You can say, oh, but they're disturbed. And it says they're disturbed about everything. They disturb each other. Right? But I'll give you a word for this. No, it wouldn't. Okay, so, make sense?
I'm just thinking further. it's kind of disease.
It's a disease, the material disease, but that's what we have, as Prabhupada mentioned, all living entities, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, that since the living entities all belong to the marginal potency, each and every living entity has a natural tendency to become God conscious, Krishna conscious. Although at the same time, the seed of material enjoyment is undoubtedly within him. It means those who have come here. Right? So, it's undoubtedly there, but it's the natural tendency to become Krishna conscious. So the point is we can either take that Krishna conscious side, or we can cultivate the seed. That's the point that we have. So it's just a matter of if we do the one, it automatically takes care of the other anyway. Krishna's maintaining everybody, so why wouldn't he take care of the devotees? You know, you can say, oh no, but it's so difficult. It's like, you know, who's gone hungry? Who in the movement's going hungry? Who's starving to death? Right? It's not there. So it's just like, you know. So then, you know, yeah.
In a way, feast of every day saying is too much.
Yes, it's too much. Yeah.
I was listening today to a lecture by Prabhupada, and he said, I started this movement with 40 rupees, and now I have 40 crores of rupees. Tell me, where is the business person who has the same record? Where is the record? And this is only for 10 years. And there are like 10,000 people, and they're eating every day prasadam, and they don't work. So where is this business?
Yeah, that's very funny. Yeah, because Krishna's taking care. That's what we have to understand, we're taking care. There's this idea that, no, you have to work. Now, what happens? Why do you have to go to work? I mean, so we take the modern scenario. Why do you have to go to work?
Because I want to enjoy it.
Okay, but that's your side. But others are there. But why, by working, do you enjoy? Because some people will happily sit at home on their couch. Right? That's looked down upon in the society.
Because I try to imitate how others enjoy and I want to do this.
Okay. So now, but let's look at a bigger scale. Why would this be so nicely, this knowledge or of mood would be nicely distributed? Because I only talk to a few people. So where is this coming from? Right? The people who really want to enjoy this world, then it means they have to make huge amounts of profit. You know, you can't maintain your own airplane, you know, off a desk job, right? Right, so they need lots of people to do that kind of work, and then they're willing to pay them a small amount, and it's they're happy with it, you know, and then they get what they get, right? You know, the countries need taxes to run. You understand? So unless you work, then it's going like this. So this is where it's coming from. You have to from that side, right? That's what we're looking at it just from a pranamoyic platform, which generally most people are, but they don't look that far. Because if they do get that far, then they get into conspiracy things, and then they get distracted again and miss the point. Right? So then if you look at it from the religious side, then everybody should perform their duty, you know, be hard, do something in the community, things like this, and, you know, like that aspect. And then you'll have that, you know, he's a good, upstanding, you know, member of the community, a religious person, you know, like this kind of thing. Does that make sense? So there'll still be that aspect is there. So if you go back in time, that would be the basis of why you had to do something. Now it's simply because you'll enjoy it. So the point is before you even go back, it still goes back to the religious process. And so now it's just degraded down, and so they think that I'm getting something, but is anybody getting anything? Like, I can basically guarantee that the average person today, the quality of food they eat is much less of quality than, let's say, 50 years ago when the family would cook themselves.
Yes.
Right? Like that. How can it be? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that it's going down. You know, does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. So having this faith in these in the material, and of the material, then specifically the modern. And so it's a distraction, because the point is the point, like we said, having an occupation, that's a religious thing. That's where it comes from. Because if you do good work, you get good result. Bad work, you get bad result. So it's a matter of piety. That's why people are worried that, no, you have to do good work. But if they're only seeing the material results, they want that good work to be in a form that produces facilities. But they're only looking at that good work. What about the good work, you know, of the family? Like nowadays, it's good work, you know, about occupation. But where's the emphasis on the family? Because you're making the money for the family, but there's no emphasis on family. You don't need to spend the time. You don't need to put in the effort. So then where what are they getting from that? So what are they actually getting? Because, you know, guaranteed, the really rich guy is spending time with his family. You know, so that's the point, is that we're it's being missed. So that's Maya. She covers and then throws. Right? We were discussing that the other day, the covering and throwing. And the yeah, because I think the covering was the Jiva Maya, right? And then the throwing is the Upadana. Because she covers you so that your consciousness goes down. Then she throws you into another species of light. So now your Upadana and everything changes. It's at a lower quality. Does that make sense? So it's just, that's how she works. You know, I mean, one has to remember all the animals and bugs and flies and mosquitoes and everything that annoys you. They were all humans at one time. And so you can tell it's not just the rare person, you know, got into mosquito consciousness like that. You know, there's billions of them, right? So.
In this room right now.
Yeah. That's just right here. Right here, right now.
Because they're trying to become elevated.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. I guess they're so small we can't see the forearms and going, no, they already have six arms, so how does this work?
Should be reduced.
Okay, then you only get two arms. Yeah, so that one means when you see mosquito, you can check. If he's got six, then, you know, he needs more work. But if he's only got four, then you know, okay, you know, he's just aggressive. And we're talking Chaitanya Charitamrita, so that means then they'll come to the level of two arms.
But, unless it's a special pastime, which six would be proper.
Would?
In a couple instances, six is actually proper for Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yes, that's true. Okay. The next verse. The impersonalist, fruit of workers, false logicians, blasphemers, non-devotees, and lowest among the student community.
Wow.
And that's Chaitanya Charitamrita.
That's a good list.
Are very expert in avoiding the Krishna consciousness movement, and therefore the inundation of Krishna consciousness cannot touch them. Mm-hmm. Seeing that the Mayavadis and others were fleeing, Lord Chaitanya thought, I want everyone to be immersed in this inundation of love of Godhead, but some of them have escaped. Therefore, I shall devise a trick to drown them also. Srila Prabhupada, here is an important point. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to invent a way to capture the Mayavadis and others who did not take interest in the Krishna consciousness movement. This is the symptom of an acharya. An acharya who comes for the service of the Lord cannot be expected to conform to a stereotype. We must find the ways and means by which Krishna consciousness may be spread. Sometimes jealous persons criticize the Krishna consciousness movement because it engages equally both boys and girls in distributing love of Godhead, not knowing that boys and girls in countries like Europe and America mix very freely. These fools and rascals criticize the boys and girls in Krishna consciousness. for intermingling. But there, these rascals should consider that one cannot suddenly change a community's social customs. However, since both the boys and girls are being trained to become preachers, those girls are not ordinary girls, but are as good as their brothers who are preaching Krishna consciousness. Therefore, to engage both boys and girls in fully transcendental activities is a policy intended to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. These jealous fools who criticize the intermingling of boys and girls will simply have to be satisfied with their own foolishness because they cannot think of how to spread Krishna consciousness by adopting ways and means that are favorable for this purpose. Like that. Have to be satisfied with their own foolishness. Right? Because they're not going to get anything more. Therefore, what we are doing is perfect by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for it is he who proposed to invent a way to capture those who strayed from Krishna consciousness. Right, so we see is that these systems Prabhupada's already put into place, and then we just have to follow them and use them with the right attitude and everything. Thus the Lord accepted the sannyas order of life after full consideration. So this was, he considered, okay, what to do? I want to drown them all in this ocean of love of Godhead. So then, after deliberation, then he decided to take sannyas. Srila Prabhupada. There was no need for Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to accept sannyas, for he is God himself, and therefore has nothing to do with the material bodily concept of life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not identify himself with any of the eight varnas and ashrams, namely Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. He identified himself as the Spirit, Supreme Spirit. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or for that matter any pure devotee, never identifies with these social and spiritual divisions of life. For a devotee is always transcendental to these different gradations of society. Nevertheless, Lord Chaitanya decided to accept sannyas on the grounds that when he became a sannyasi, everyone would show him respect and in that way be favored, although there was actually no need for him to accept sannyas. He did so for the benefit of those who might think him an ordinary human being. Right? Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, establishing that the devotees are Brahmins, just so that those who criticize, they'll at least minimum accept the Vaishnavas as Brahmins. Because otherwise they would accept them as less than that, not even as Brahmins. But the point is they're Vaishnavas, it's higher than that. But at least minimum there. The main purpose of his accepting sannyas was to deliver the Mayavadi sannyasis. This will be evident later in this chapter. Okay, so one's not identifying with him, it doesn't mean we don't perform the duties. Like Lord Chaitanya doesn't identify with this, but he performs the duty. Mm-hmm. Right? Just like he doesn't identify as a grihastha, but he's performing the duties. Mm-hmm. Right? Or he's a teacher, he doesn't identify, but he performs the duties. So therefore we have our duties that we do, and within that, then we're connecting everything to Krishna. Okay? So those who speculate in this way regarding devotional service are called kutarkikas, false logicians. And those who consider devotional service to be fruit of activities are called karmanishtas, right? Those who are fixed in karma. Those who criticize devotional service are called nindakas, blasphemers. Similarly, non-devotees who consider devotional activities to be material are called Pashandis, and scholars with a similar point of view are called Adhamma Padyuyas.
That's the lowest of the student.
Right? Yeah, the lowest among the student community. Yeah, so that's the... So these Adhamma Padyuyas. Paduyas.
But there's a title also, no? Upadhyaya.
Yeah, Upadhyaya. But these are Adhamma Paduyas. Paduyas. Adhamma Paduyas. That's right. So we'd like to thank this evening, thank all the Adhamma Paduyas. The Kutarkikas, Nindakas, Pashandis, and Adhamma Paduyas all avoid the benefit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement of developing love of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt compassion for them, and it is for this reason that he decided to accept the sannyas order. For by seeing him as a sannyasi, they would offer him respect. So even in South India, they consider him the greatest sannyasi. No one knows he's God. No one sees him as a devotee. And that they just accept him as the greatest sannyasi. Right? So in that way, they're offering respect. In that way, they'll get some benefit. The sannyas order is still respected in India. Indeed, the very dress of a sannyasi still commands respect from the Indian public. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas to facilitate preaching his devotional cult. Although otherwise, he had no need to accept the fourth order of spiritual life. Text 34. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained in a household of life for 24 years, and on the verge of his 25th year, he accepted the sannyas order. Srila Prabhupada. There are four orders of spiritual life, namely brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. And in each of these ashrams, there are four divisions. The divisions of the brahmacharya ashram are savitra, prajapatya, brahma, and brihat. And the divisions of the grihastha ashram are varta, professionals, sanchaya, accumulators, shalina, those who do not ask anything from anyone, and silanchana, those who collect grains from the paddy fields. Right. So nowadays we only are only into professionals.
Accumulators also.
Yeah, but they kind of do that on the side, you know. So.
If they can.
Huh?
If they can.
Yeah. But we don't necessarily give it the, you know, the status it deserves. Yes.
We work for them.
We work for them. Yeah. Similarly, the divisions of the Vanaprastha ashram are Vaikanasa, Valakilya, Audambara, and Fenapa. And the divisions of sannyasa are Kutichaka, Bahudaka, Hamsa, and Nishkriya. There are two kinds of sannyasis, who are called Dhiras and Narottamas, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1:3, 13:26-27. At the end of the month of January in the year 1432, Shakabda, A.D. 1510, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyas order from Keshava Bharati, who belonged to the Shankara Sampradaya. It's interesting. So I've always heard about it, that there's already the four are there. What are the divisions?
So now someone can change division?
Yeah, depending upon your position.
Like brahmachari can move from savitriya to prajapatya.
Yes, I'm not exactly sure what the different things are. The prajapatya, I think means that I'm not sure that he'll get married. But that, or brihat would be a nisnaishtika.
Okay.
But the other three, savitriya probably means that vata means he's just accepted, he's just gotten. He's had Upanayanam, so he has the Brahma Gayatri, and so then he qualifies for the certain levels there. Now, what's the difference between Prajapati and Brahma? I'm not sure. Like that. But the Brihat would be the, you know, then having finished his studies, then he decides to remain a Brahmachari. Because generally the others, with having finished, then they would get married. Yeah.
We had discussed this in Canto 7.
Sorry?
In Canto 7, we discussed.
Oh, it comes up there.
Mm.
Okay. Prajapatya.
It's pretty much Prajapati, but.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to think of that, and also in the marriages, we have Prajapatya. Okay. Okay.
Or just mean taking care of other living entities.
Oh, okay. That, but also I think it's if you have the marriages, Brahma means that you're accepting a girl in charity. Prajapatya means that you're inquiring after a particular girl.
Oh.
In the marriage.
Okay.
You know, it's still it's accepted by the father, but it's the boy's side approaches the girl's side of the family.
There's a second question.
Yeah, well, the Brahma is the the girl's side approaches the boy's side. Okay. Our billions of mosquitoes have arrived. After accepting the sannyas order, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attracted the attention of all those who had evaded him, beginning with the logicians. Thus the students, infidels, fruit of workers and critics all came to surrender under the lotus feet of the Lord. Okay, who are the infidels now? Because each time he uses a different word for the same four categories. False logicians. Oh, okay.
Maybe Pashandi would be infidel.
Yeah.
Or critic. Critic would be.
Definitely. Critics are blasphemers. Yeah. Something. Newer and newer, fresher and fresher. Thus the students, infidels, fruit of workers and critics all came to surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Yeah, there must be the blasphemers. Lord Chaitanya excused them all, and they merged into an ocean of devotional service. For no one can escape the unique loving network of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was an ideal acharya. An acharya is an ideal teacher who knows the purport of the revealed scriptures, behaves exactly according to their injunctions, and teaches his students to adopt these principles also. So, yes. Maybe this one. See here. Ideal knows the purport of the revealed scriptures, right? So that's the Shravana aspect, Then behaves exactly, manana, and then teaches and acts according to that, and then adopts, and then teaches the students, and they teach others. So the acharya knows all the stages. He's been through it, he practices like that, he teaches others. So we can see here is that he says the acharya, then we can say before, see, the acharya is not stereotyped, so we can do anything we want, but he says here, it's ideal, he knows the scriptures and behaves according to their injunctions. So in trying to give up the stereotype, then we go against the scriptures, then that will be inappropriate. So we have to be very, very careful that it's still there. Because just like you said, the boys and girls, they're preaching. But it doesn't mean that they're, as the karmis hang out, they hang out. Right? So they're careful about that. As an ideal acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu devised ways to capture all kinds of atheists and materialists. Every acharya has a specific means of propagating his spiritual movement with the aim of bringing men to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the method of one acharya may be different from that of another, but the ultimate goal is never neglected. An acharya should devise a means by which people may somehow or other come to Krishna consciousness. First, they should become Krishna conscious. Then all the prescribed rules and regulations may later gradually be introduced, right? So that's the essential point, becoming Krishna conscious. Now, if we're introducing not the prescribed rules of devotional service, but the prescribed rules within the Vedic system, like astrology or Ayurveda or psychology and these, then we're not making Krishna consciousness. And so, because until they become Krishna conscious, how do you get the prescribed rules? So you have to find a way that they become Krishna conscious. Then you can introduce all the things. That's the beauty of chanting the holy name. The process works, even if you're not following all the rules.
Yes.
Like that. But that's the power of the name, not the wonderfulness of the Western culture.
We need to be clear about what is the primary thing.
Yes. Yes, so then you see the balance. You see how Prabhupada would, where he's accommodating. Because it's not that he changes things. A lot of times devotees like to say, oh, Prabhupada changed it. He didn't change anything. It's just that generally you see is that most of these strong missions and that, especially in our line, right? The Madhvas, it's mutts. And that, and then the Gaudiya mutt, right? They don't have temples, they have mutts. So then, but we're using temples. So it's a bona fide thing and all that, and so then you have the activities that go on. And so then it's just a matter of establishing the different things. Okay. Does that make sense? So you'll find that he's following the different things, he just knows what to apply where. Right. First they should come to Krishna conscious, and all the prescribed rules and regulations may later gradually be introduced. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we follow this policy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For example, since boys and girls in the Western countries freely intermingle, special concessions regarding their customs and habits are necessary to bring them to Krishna consciousness. The acharya must devise a means to bring them to devotional service. Although I am a sannyasi, I sometimes take part in getting boys and girls married. Although in the history of sannyas, no sannyasi has personally taken part in marrying his disciples. So he's just, you know, seeing what works, but it's not breaking the rules. Like, remember when Vodhi was telling me, he said, it's like when we have programs, then, you know, now it's a little bit more because just people do. But otherwise, you don't necessarily, when you have public programs, people sit wherever they like. So you don't care if boys and girls sit together, who sits where, and everything like that. So in the temple, the 60s and that, then they had, you know, the people could just come. Boys would sit together, but girls would sit together, but the guests, when they come in, wherever they sat, no one bothered. Like that. So one devotee was telling me he came and he sat down in the girls' side. You know, because he thought he'd rather hang out with the girls, right? And so then, and the girls don't care, because they're just listening to the class and everything like that. Then when he starts to chat to the girls, then the girls say, you're going to sit here, you should listen to the class. They say, what do you mean? I do whatever I want and all this and that. You know, the only one that I listen to, you know, only God, like that. And then the girl looked at him and says, God wants you to go sit over there, you know, with the boys. And it's kind of like, oh, okay. So he got up and walked over where the boys were sitting. You know, so it's like if they're just coming and listening, you don't care. But as soon as they start to get trippy, then this is the way it works. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in order to deliver all the fallen souls. Therefore, he devised many methods to liberate them from the clutches of Maya. Srila Prabhupada. It is the concern of the acharya to show mercy to the fallen souls. Right, so, and then we see as Prabhupada's going, and there's devotees who know how to do these things, then they're doing the marriages. He's not doing anymore. So, no one knows about marriages, no one knows about the yajnas, no one knows these things, so he does them himself. But as soon as others then can do, then he'll go into his position. Right, because you're doing authorized things, right? He's just seeing that it's... So. Next verse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in order to deliver all the fallen souls. Therefore, he devised many methods to liberate them from the clutches of Maya. Srila Prabhupada. It is a concern of the acharya to show mercy to the fallen souls. In this connection, Desha Kalapatra, the place, the time, and the object, should be taken into consideration. Because when we say circumstance, we take it as, the flavor that's there and that. No, that's the place and time. The object means what's to be done here, what can be done here, who does that, what's your relationship there. That's circumstance. Right? It includes us. Because otherwise in the modern time, place, circumstance, what could I do? It's time, place, and circumstance. No, but circumstance includes you. You understand? So that's why it's not, but the Vedic is, it's like time, place, and circumstance. Deshkalapatra is Sanskrit. Right? It's a Vedic thing. You always have to do that. So that's why what the place is, what the time is, who you are in that situation, that's what has to be considered. That's Patra. Because the Patra is the paraphernalia, the objects, what you're dealing with.
It's bigger than what we think.
Huh?
It is bigger.
Yes. Because it matches that, we can't follow these things, because by the modern thing, you put it into an impersonal state.
Yes.
And then, of course, we're personal, so we're like this, but it includes the personal.
Yes.
Like that. Okay, Deshkalapatra, the place, the time, the object, should be taken into consideration. Since the European and American boys and girls in our Krishna conscious movement preach together, less intelligent men criticize that they are mingling without restriction. In Europe and America, boys and girls mingle unrestrictedly and have equal rights. Therefore, it is not possible to completely separate the men from the women. However, we are thoroughly instructing both men and women how to preach, and actually they are preaching wonderfully. Of course, we very strictly prohibit illicit sex. Right? So there is the thing. So there is the point. So it's just a matter of being engaged in the transcendental aspect, then they can do. Right? Boys and girls who are not married are not allowed to sleep together or live together. And there are separate arrangements for boys and girls in every temple. Grihasthas live outside the temple, for in the temple we do not allow even husband and wife to live together. The results of this are wonderful. Both men and women are preaching the gospel of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna with redoubled strength. In this verse, the words shabda, nishtarite, kare, chaturi, apara indicate that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to deliver one and all. Therefore, it is a principle that a preacher must strictly follow the rules and regulations laid down in the Shastras, yet at the same time devise a means by which the preaching work to reclaim the fallen may go on with full force. Right, so these are the situations that they're there, and the boys and girls, they always hang out together, so therefore if they do things together, you know, like that, they're all together doing the kirtans or the pujas or going out in the preaching and all that, then there's not really a problem. Like before the Harinam, they go out, the girls would stand in the front, the boys would stand behind and play the instruments and, you know, do that aspect. And the girls would, you know, dance and like this kind of aspect. And so then it worked very nice because people would much rather look at the, you know, the girls than our, you know, boys. Right? So, with that. Yeah, even in San Francisco at that time, it'd still be that way. Yeah. So they're doing. So they go on the bus together and that, but they wouldn't just hang out and this and that and just, you know, anything. You know, it'd have to be about Krishna consciousness and proper dealings, like that. But, you know, the consideration was there. Does that make sense? So you have to know where it works and where it doesn't. Like that. Is that something else? Yes.
On this point of girls dancing in front and brahmacharis being behind, so I heard some devotees complaining about this. That the point was that in this way the brahmacharis, they will look at the ladies and meditate on them, and they made this point very strongly. Prabhupada didn't like this. So
No, but that's how they did Harinam and everything. So he said he didn't like it. It means Prabhupada didn't like them maybe staring at the girls.
Yeah.
So why stare at the girls?
Right.
And it doesn't matter where you put them. They want to stare.
Yeah. The whole point is it's not about a distance. They can say, oh, they're right there. But if they're on the other side of the street, they were. I mean, what's the cliche about the, you know, the guys are on the corner on one side of the street and the girls walking by on the other side, and they all whistle and make cat calls and all that. And so distance is not actually a feature.
I would tell to them, all due respect, that they are staring at devotee girls, and they are in the front, they are staring at the karmi naked girls.
Oh, yeah, so they're looking at. Okay, yeah, that's good. That's interesting. You're looking at the devotees, and they're having to look at all the karmi girls. So they want it the other way so they can stare at the karmi girls? Like that. So then, you know, as you have things where there's more of an understanding of the culture and all that, and then you can make the separate things. You know, so then you would have then, you still have in some places where the girls are in the front, they're dancing, then the boys are there. There's a lot of girls, then they'll be in the middle, and then there'll be some of the boys at the back, you know, generally the tough ones that can take care of anybody who comes along that is behaving in inappropriate ways, like that.
That's how we did it in Philly. Guys up front, ladies in the middle, and then the tough guys in the back.
Yeah, because that's the way to go. Because if you leave the ladies at the back, then people are harassing. But the tough guys.
Same as if they were right up front, because Philly's a little bit rough. So if they were right up front, they'd get bugged by the, you know,
yeah,
whoever.
Yeah, and then the back.
So,
yeah. Yeah, Australia, they have similar. But the, Australia, then if something started a thing, then the devotees would just make a circle around,
yes.
So and start dancing, and that's so the karmis can't see what's going on inside. And then afterwards, then they just go off, and the, you know, like that, and you know, you see the effects of the, I say, spiritual rugby match. Yeah, but after a while, people just don't bother you. You know, it, the word gets around.
Yeah.
Therefore, it is the principle that a preacher must strictly follow the rules and regulations laid down in the Shastras, right? So that's there. Yet, at the same time, devise the means by which the preaching work to reclaim the fallen can go on with full force. So there's things, oh no, we have to get rid of those things, then only. But the people aren't, it's not that people join, you know, a religious organization because you can wear your shorts and t-shirt to church. You know, that's generally not why someone joins a particular religious organization. You know, or the priests don't wear funny clothes, right? They're also in shorts and t-shirts. Yeah. That people don't join because of that. They join because of conviction, because there's something there, there's a structure, there's something to follow. So it means you have to put these two together. So that's the thing.
In order to do that, realization must test the
teacher. That's why it says the acharya. The acharyas know how to do this, so we can we take example from them. That's why we're not acharyas. We follow in the footsteps. We don't imitate. We see what they do and try to, you know, the different situations, and then see how Prabhupada, the acharyas dealt with those situations, and then ourselves we try to apply them. You know, because it's a lot of the mentality. Like, there's a thing where Prabhupada mentioned about women teaching the boys until they're 10. Another place he mentioned until 12. And I'm not even sure he didn't say something about the boys and girls could be together in classes until that age. So I was always wondering about that. And then I noted that it depended upon their perspective. Like, I noticed that, let's say you have a new yatra, someone had just gone in, started preaching. You know, it's very new in that. And so then when they'll preach, and then the devotees that will come forward and their families and their kids, you can have a program, let's say a Sunday program for the kids or whatever it is that they do, and all the kids will come together. It doesn't matter the age, because Krishna consciousness is so new, they're so absorbed in that. That they don't worry about that, you know, hey, you know, I'm 16 and that girl over there is, you know, like that. They don't worry about those things. But as they start to become aware, then you have to put in these age restrictions. So it just depends on whether they're aware or not. Just like in Manu, it mentions that the parents are take the karma of the child until they're 16. But I think Parasara mentions 13. Right? So what would be the difference?
Boys and girls.
The whole point, are they aware of boys and girls or not? Soon as they become to where they're actively involved in this interaction between boys and girls, then it's 13. Like that. But if they not, they follow, they just do follow, do the practices and all that, then it's 16. 16 is when they turn an adult. So you see, there is that point of how much they're aware of. And if they're not aware, that's why even Manu says, you know, if the young or if the student's aware, then now you worry about age things. Mm-hmm. If they're not aware, you don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. So.
When I learned this point of getting used to it, like when the boys, small children, but not really small, like maybe 6, 7, they become used to it that the boys and girls are together,
yes.
Mixed. And then when you separate them, they don't really understand what's going on.
Yes. So that's why it's easy. If you have an older situation, then why wouldn't you do it from the beginning? Because the things is, what boys want to do and what girls want to do are going to be different anyway. And if they're together, then they're going to have to do what the girls do. if you want to keep peace in there. So that means then the boys, they're either not going to like it, or if they get to like get into that kind of activity, then they're going to have trouble doing other things. So otherwise, just from the beginning, you separate. You know, up to five, you don't worry about it, but after that, you separate. You know. So it just depends. You say the boys don't, because if they're too attached, but then we just have, talking to some that they just separated their kids. It was the girls that were freaking out. Boys didn't care. Yeah, like that. So it may be one or the other, like this. So it's just a matter of the arrangements. You know. So that's why it's just easier if there's there. But what I'm saying is something completely new, then you're starting like that. But then as it goes, then you start to make, you know, formal arrangements. Because this is just, you do something in somebody's house and this and that, and you know. But as it starts to get structured, then you can start to put these into place. Because it's just a matter of, because then they're not from that culture. But when you're dealing with people who are straight off the street in the Meleche Yavanan culture, then you're dealing in one way. But as they start to become adjusted to the culture and practice, then you can start to make these differentiations. You know, it just means the Shastra gives these things, that this is what works nicely. Like that. But you have to understand why it's like that. It's not just it's a rule. You have to understand why. You know, what's the mentality of the boys? What's the mentality of the girls? Therefore, it's just like these art temple in the Brahmachari ashram, there was zero furniture. I mean, nothing. Mm-hmm. Like that. And anything that was there was in the closet. You know, and that was, you know, everybody had their box, and it was in a box, like that. And so then that room was where you slept. It's where you got dressed, put on your tilak. It's where you could chant your japa. It's where you took a nap, if the temple commander ever allowed such a thing. It was where you had the Sunday program, the feasts. You know, the guests came in, like that. Prasad was served there. You know, it's just everything happened there. And I always wondered, you know, I didn't really think about it so much, but, you know, it's kind of like, you know, where's all the furniture? You know? And I found out long later, it was on the next floor upstairs with the Brahmacharinis. They had all the furniture.
They had the fridge on the balcony. And it took, I think, rather around a few years to figure out where the food was disappearing.
Okay, yes, yes.
Imagine there's a freeze.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the thing, is the boys won't even notice. It'll take them years. You know, but the girls will walk in the first day, it's like, where's the furniture? But the boys walk in, there's no furniture. It's like, wow, cool. You know, so it's just, if you know the natures, then it's natural. And so then knowing that, you'll make these arrangements. Because, you know, you can say, oh, no, but why couldn't the boys have that? Do the boys want to take care of it? The boys will wipe a floor. They can relate to that. They'll sweep it, they'll wipe it. That's where it ends. But they gotta get the vacuum cleaner, they gotta straighten the curtains, they gotta put the ties on properly, they gotta adjust the thing in the middle of the table. Forget it.
Impractical.
Yeah, it's just they don't wanna do that. They're not gonna do that. Like that. But the girls, you know, you have all the friends, they'll do it, they'll take care. Maha cleaning's fine, they'll do this, someone will do that, and they're cool. You have to know the nature. Then it works. Problem is, if you try to get the boys to live like the girls, the boys, it's not going to happen. It's just, yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Bhakti.